Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to continue on with the journey of with Jesus next week, but this week I've been so excited about 2020. I just feel this anticipation and this excitement. And I was sharing with the women yesterday at the women's breakfast that I was in a store and I was listening to this group of people and they were talking, and the man in the group made this comment: "I am so glad this decade is finally over." And there was just such a heaviness when he spoke it. And I was thinking, I'm excited about what God did in the last decade, but I am super excited about what he's going to do in 2020. And it kind of began this excitement of, you know, it really is about our choice and how we choose to look at what happened in the past. Was everything in the last decade fabulous and wonderful? No, there were some bumps and bruises and things along the way, but it's about our attitude and how we look at it and how we can look ahead. If we look back at the last 10 years and we're like, blah, 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 well, then it's going to be really hard to look at the next 10 and be happy, right? But that's it. We just have to dig into God's word and see that he is faithful. Say he is faithful. He is faithful. Yes. And he gave me this word. Three words. Live to give. Live to give. This is the first year of the decade, right? The first of 10. Make this year the pattern for the next 9. Make this year your year of sowing and sowing and sowing. When I got this from the Lord, I was so excited in my spirit because I was like, it's not just limited to your finances. I mean, it is your finances, but it's not limited to that. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your talents. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, how can I give today? Show me how to give today. In 1 Chronicles 29, this is where David is handing over the reins to his son Solomon, and he's asked the people for an offering. And he gives an offering himself toward the work of the temple. And then he says, I would like all of you to consider giving toward the work of the temple as well. And when he gives his speech, in verse 9, it says this: the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. Willingly, freely, wholeheartedly. We have a lot of Lees going on, right? A lot of L-Y's are being added to all of these words. It's almost like a punctuation mark that the Lord is saying here. And it's all about the attitudes of their hearts. And Pastor Steve and I, this is not to be, I just want you to know, sometimes in my lifetime, I have had pastors that didn't give. They didn't feel like they needed to give, and so they didn't give. I want you to know that we give. We don't just stand up here and say, give, give, give. We give. And I'm not saying this boastfully or bragging, but we are always in the top 5% of giving in this church. Always. Why? Because we're the head. If the head isn't doing what God has asked us to do, then the rest of the body's in trouble. Amen? And so David here, he says, I've given out of my own treasuries. We've given out of our own treasuries toward the work that the Lord is doing here, not just in our church, but in missions and in offerings besides, families in need, single moms ministries. We choose to give. And the response of the people was they rejoice at the willingness, the freely and wholeheartedly given to the Lord. And David raises up a prayer in verse 10, and it says, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in the earth, or the heaven and the earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. Who does it come from? The Lord. You are the ruler of all things. Say all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. And I love his heart. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give? I feel like David, looking back over last year, who am I and who are my people that we have been able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. Wow. Wow. Kind of puts everything in a different perspective, doesn't it? It's not about giving the Lord your tenth. It's about giving the Lord his tenth of what he's given you. Amen? This is what it's saying. It says that all wealth, all honor comes from him. He's saying what we've given, we can only give you because you gave it to us. Amen? And we know that you can't outgive God. So I just want to challenge you. Let these words willingly, freely, wholeheartedly, generously, let those be the words that people say about this church and about you as his children this next year. Let those be the when they think about you and when they say, wow, when I think of Reed and Peggy, I think of generous. They're always willing. When I think about Jackie, boy, she freely gives. When I think about Tristan, it's wholeheartedly. She puts that, do you see what I'm saying? Those words are what we want people to say about us. Why? Because where does the glory go back to? The Lord. He will receive all the glory. Why? Because when they say, well, what's so different about them? They go to church. They believe in God. Whoa. And they're so giving. Let's make it 2020. Let's begin the decade with this. Let's live to give. Let's live to give. Let's live to give. Wake up every morning. And can I just challenge you with this? Husbands and wives, your first role, your first prayer should be, Lord, how can I give to my mate today? Parents, grandparents, how can I give to my children and my grandchildren? So often we skip that in our giving thoughts. We go straight to missions. We go straight to the church. And we forget the greatest blessing we have in our lives are our spouses and our children and our families. Don't forget your families. You're wanting to see some of them come to know the Lord as their Savior and be in church with you? Be a blessing to them. Be a blessing to them. Don't make them grovel and beg. Be ready in an instant to give freely, willingly, wholeheartedly, generously. Don't make them feel like you're hanging over their head. Amen? And then when it comes time to the different things, I've been so excited this year about our giving. We've always had things we've given toward, but I just feel like the Lord said this year we're going to be organized. And I said, okay, yes, sir. And so we're going to be giving every quarter to different things. And this quarter, we're going to be giving to the Families in Need account, which is an account we save aside for any type of thing that comes up. Example, last year we had a family that we heard about that was in an accident. Their only car that they had was totaled, and they didn't have insurance to be able to help pay for a rental car while they were figuring out getting another car. Hardworking family, just had a need. And we were able to say, I mean, we pray about everything, you guys, before we give. But we were able to say, hey, as a church, here's some money to help with the rental car. So they didn't have to have that stress. They were shocked, literally. That what? We don't go to your church. That's okay. God put you on our hearts. Here, be blessed. Totally blessed. I mean, crying blessed. And there are so many times that we've had things in the past where things have come up in families that either in the church or things we've heard about or we've been able to give. That's what this account is for, families in need. And sometimes it's not even just, you know, that families are in dire straits. It's just they hit a bump, you know, and they need a little extra to get them through. That's what this account is for. So that's what we're doing in January. Just pray and ask the Lord, am I supposed to give toward that? And if so, what? But live to give. Amen? And then I'm very excited because I was noticing that most of our giving is on the other side of the year, which is great, but it kind of makes it a little more difficult because that side of the year has a lot of holidays. So we're spreading it out a little bit. We're going to do two Fish Food Bank givings this year, and I'm very excited about this one. It's easy to remember, TP. Can you remember TP? Right? Pretty easy, right? Toilet paper, but it's not toilet paper, but TP, that's what it stands for. We're going to do tuna and peanut butter. Those are the two things that they always are running short on, always. So for the month of March, we're doing TP. We're doing tuna and peanut butter. Amen? So you can start now. If you want to pick up one can of tuna for the next, what is it? It'll be almost 12 weeks, 13 weeks. That's 13 cans of tuna. And is that stressful? No, because you've done it one every week. Don't you love organization? Woohoo! I was excited. I'm like, Lord, this is awesome. So I'm excited because I have this anticipation that what we do this year is going to be the launch pad for what we're going to see in this next decade. I want to see God do some incredible things. And I want us to keep our hands and our hearts open and be willing at any minute to say, yes, Lord, I'll give. Amen? Because I can guarantee you this, you won't run out of money. That's not the way it works. Most of the time, you give and you give, and you're like, how can this be? How can I still have more? It was awesome this year to end the year for our church. It was the most money we've ever had, not just in our savings. Our savings, you know, I told you, got a lot. But our checking account. Our checking account has always been, because we give a lot during this time of year, our checking account has always been in the hundreds. It was the thousands this year. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our church is flourishing. And what does that mean? That means you're flourishing because you're sowing seeds. Amen? Live to give. Live to give. And get excited. Get excited. God is going to be doing some awesome things. Side note, not only am I excited about our giving, I'm excited about families. I'm excited about our families. I have this just deep in my heart, this anticipation that we're going to see people that we didn't think we'd ever see in church this year. I am believing the Lord that this is their year, not next year, not the year after. This is their year. I have cousins that I love, but I haven't seen, just life happens, and I have prayed for them more in the last 3 months than I've ever prayed in my whole life for them. But there's this anticipation that they're going to be in church. Amen? Amen. So get excited for your finances and family. We can do that, right? Finances and family. Grab your tithes and offering and go ahead and let's just stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just praise you and we thank you right now for your faithfulness, God, for the faithfulness that you blessed us with last year, Father, and that we saw the amazing amount, again, like David, who am I and who are my people, that we were able to give so generously. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we were blessed to be a blessing, and that's what we did. We didn't just store it up. We have it flowing through us, God, able to give to every good work. There wasn't one place that came in this year that we had to say no. Not one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we just praise you and we thank you for 2020. We choose to live to give. We make that commitment today, Father. We want to live our lives giving. Giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Father, we want to be vessels you can flow through to touch the world around us. And we thank you, Father, for your faithfulness in our lives to bless every seed that is sown. Bless every sower that sows today. Father, I thank you for raises and bonuses. I thank you, Father, for debt cancellation this year, Father. Things that people have been praying for in their finances, hurdles that felt too big, they are literally going to be leveled this year. And I thank you for wisdom of what to do with that extra money, that it's not just going to go sift through us like sand. No, we're going to have purpose. We're going to be organized. We're going to know, okay, that $50 payment is no longer needed, so I'm going to put that over here or sow it or whatever you tell us to do, God. We're going to have wisdom in our finances that as we give, we know, Father, your promise is to give back, pressed down, shaken, and running over. So we pray for wisdom of what to do with the things that are coming into our lives. And we praise you today, Father. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to be alert, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to listen. Father, when you say, give here, give there, help us not to question, is that person worthy? Do they really need it? It doesn't matter if they really need it. It just matters that you're obedient to give what God tells you to give. And we just praise you and we thank you, Father, for blessing 2020. Let it be the greatest year ever in our giving and in our lives, Father. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise God. Come on, give God a big shout. Say hallelujah. Praise God. Let's make a New Year's resolution at Redeemed Church to be vocal. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When somebody walks into this church for the first time, I want them to think, oh, one of those churches. And be like, that's exactly what I needed. Amen. The church ought not be like a funeral parlor. In fact, the past couple of funerals I've done, people laugh when I'm speaking. It's the joy of the Lord. Amen. And you know, when somebody's in heaven, that's good news. Even if they pass on and go home to be with Jesus, right? It's awesome. In fact, it's hilarious to think of the devil, what he must do when he thinks he had somebody. And then he thinks he has them and they're gone, right? He's a liar. He's a loser. And it makes you, you know, chuckle now and then. Ha ha ha, devil, you're so stupid. Amen. Praise God. Well, I think we can go ahead and dismiss the kids this morning. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you for that beautiful offering message. Thank you for the hug. Amen. Somebody say, I live to give. Praise God. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Amen. Well, let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for Vision Day. We thank you, Lord, that you're our vision, that you have visions and dreams for us to walk in and live in and breathe in and be actively doing, Lord. And we just thank you for it all. We thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say amen. And as I was preparing to, you know, I love the kind of the turn of the year, that time between Christmas and New Year's. I'd enjoy that as much as any holiday. And I seek the Lord on how he wants me to do my devotions for the next year, Bible reading. How many know it's good to be reading your Bible every day and listening to worship music and praying every day? I mean, these are things that Christians do, right? That followers of Jesus Christ do. But I was thinking, man, you know, Lord, should I simplify things? Should I just get back to, you know, not having a journal and not writing things down and just get right into the Bible and just read the Bible only and not be thinking of all this other stuff? And he spoke up in my spirit and he said, you know, Steve, none of this is for my benefit. And it just lit a fire in me. Yep, I'm stepping it up this year. Because this, you know, God isn't gaining anything for me coming to be with him. I'm gaining something for me coming to be with him. Amen? So I'm gonna be writing scriptures. I spent the past few days going through my prayer outline, revamping it, you know, going through it, writing scriptures along things, and I'm going to be praying over the year. And, you know, it takes time. Somebody say it takes time to develop your, you know, your devotional time with Jesus ought not be same old, same old. Like, you know, Shelly and me in our marriage, you know, how many think you can improve if you're a married person, you can improve on being a better husband, better wife, whatever. I want to be a better son to the Lord, you know, just step it up. Somebody say, step it up, right? Amen. And so he's helping me with that. And the Holy Ghost, that's why the Holy Spirit is here, is to help us commune with our Heavenly Father. Amen. But today we're going to talk about vision for the year. And I'm so excited. I just think 2020, it's just fun to say 2020. Amen. 2020. I mean, 20 years ago, that sounded like a sci-fi movie, didn't it? Right? Well, here we are. Somebody say, here we are. Amen. Praise God. Well, first of all, we're going to be, you know, running through some notes here and so on. And if you have a notes page, and like I said, we're going to pray at the end of the service over, you know, your list. Somebody say, I have a list. And we should have a list. One of the big words for this year is expectation, right? And we love watching movies. We watched a great Christian movie the other day, and just powerful salvation message, very, you know, moving. We all had tears coming out our eyes. There was victory in it. But the one thing they didn't do, I talked to the kids the next day, was there anything they could have done a little different? Well, yeah, they could have prayed for the guy in the hospital to get healed. Never did that. Never even like it even dawned on them to anoint and pray for the man to be healed. Because, you know, in a lot of the body of Christ, there's this general assumption that if God decides to heal you, then that's up to him. But who am I to dare ask, to dare talk to a disease? Well, somebody say, that's the kind of church you're in. That's the kind. If you wonder what branch of the military you're in, how many know there's Army, there's Navy, there's Air Force, there's special forces. I believe faith churches are special forces in the body of Christ, like the Army Rangers, like the Navy SEALs, where God says, okay, we need an asset to take down this demon spirit that is harassing my body, and we just suit up and go for it. Amen? Not because we're better than anybody else. That's not what we're saying. But we know it's in the Word. Somebody say, if it's in the Word, take it. But to have no expectation in such a beautiful salvation message, and the person got born again, they clearly led you through the sinner's prayer, and like Jesus is waiting there to save you. And guess what? I've heard this said many times by the Copelands, and I see it in the Word. The same Jesus that's waiting to save you is waiting to heal you and prosper you and bless you and set you free. Amen? That's the Jesus we know. But there's this assumption, well, the guy did all this terrible stuff in his life, so this is what he's reaping for what he sowed, and he's going to die. But yet, let's learn some great lesson. What is God teaching? God, one of the lines was, well, God had to break me. Well, no, you broke you. Your lifestyle. Jesus, guess what, though? Has anybody think of any story in the Bible where some broken person came to Jesus and left well? Right? I can think of the guys with the skin disease, right? And they came to Jesus and they left well. He didn't say, well, you know, your dad did this and your mom did that and you were raised this way. This is very complicated, but yet I love you. But yet I'm here to help you carry this along. This is your cross to bear. Oh, no. Oh, no. He bore the cross, right? He took the stripes on his back, so I don't have to. Amen? Now, the Bible does say, yes, we have a cross to bear, but it doesn't mean you're supposed to carry along his sufferings with you in your body. No, no, no. That means I have to tell my flesh no to some stuff that may not be pleasant at the time, right? I have to crucify the flesh, but it doesn't mean I have to carry cancer with me through. Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for not just saving me, but healing me. Now, yeah, if you had to pick one, saving's better, right? Because what good is it to go to hell healthy, right? and rich and all these things. No, but if your heart is to give, if you're a tither, you don't have to be afraid of wealth, because wealth will never own you. I remember Peter Daniels, one of the wealthiest men in Australia, he said, money can never be your God if you just keep giving it away. Live to give, amen? But these are glorious things, and that's part of who we are as a church, amen? And I'm not here to throw stones at my brothers and sisters in Christ and that, you know, that write books about them. And no. That's ridiculous. That's just dumb. Amen? In fact, their church that produces these movies is flat tearing it up for the gospel. Amazing things, right? But we have to recognize who we are and not try to be someone else. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, here's who we are. It's right here written down, right? Doesn't the Bible say write the vision, right? Well, here's who we are. Redeemed Church, our foundation text is Psalm 107:2. The whole chapter is powerful, and I believe it has to do with who we are as a church. But Psalm chapter 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Praise the Lord. So this is a place where people can come to get redeemed, get born again, get set free, get healed. And I love Brother Copeland says this, we need to also not just know what he's redeemed me from, but what he's redeemed me to. Amen? So redeem means to buy back, to pay off, to recover. Doesn't that sound like what Jesus has done for us? He bought me back from the devil, right? He paid off my sin debt. And if he paid off my sin debt, he can pay off my finance debt too. Now, that's not permission for me to go hog wild with the credit cards because Jesus is going to pay it off. That's not a license for me to just go sin however I want because Jesus already paid it off. That's silliness, and that's foolishness, and that's death. Amen? We lay aside those things, and we say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I'm stopping doing what brings death. How do we know what brings death? Somebody say, read your Bible. Read your Bible, amen? Hallelujah. And we thank him that he's paid it off. Amen. Somebody say, paid in full. Hallelujah. That's why I don't have to carry around the burden of my past, the burden of this or the burden of that, because Jesus has paid it in full. Amen. If I mess up, if I sin, what do I do? Come to Jesus. Somebody say, come to Jesus. If I need something, should I go to, you know, somebody in the world, you know, that kind of thing. No, you come to Jesus. Somebody say, come to Jesus. I've heard ministers use it this, do you need to have a come to Jesus moment, right? Well, guess what we ought to be doing every day. I remember hearing, I'm going to talk about him in a little bit here, Dr. Avery, what's his last name, Avery Jackson. He talked about renewing the mind. He's a neurosurgeon, born again neurosurgeon. And he basically said, to be a successful Christian, you need to be coming to Jesus about every 10 seconds. And I don't know about you, but ever since I can remember, I've had this, hi, Lord, hello, Lord, like ongoing, Lord, I'm sorry, I apologize for that, Lord, what about this, Lord, what about that? And it almost seems compulsive. But don't you know, it's good to be a compulsive believer, right? Rather than a compulsive sinner or just forgetting God. Oh, man, what a terrible way to go, right? Amen. So somebody say, I come to Jesus all the time. I come to Jesus all the time. Hallelujah. It means to recover. He's recovered some things. That's what we're going to be talking about. That's what we talk about all the time. What has Jesus recovered on your behalf? When you read your Bible, we need to read it in terms of what Jesus has done as my example, and what he's done as my substitute. I heard Keith Moore say that, and that makes all the sense in the world. That's called rightly dividing the word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. In other words, you hear people say, I just want to be like Jesus. I just want to be like Jesus. Okay, so then you're never going to get married. You're going to die at 33 years old. You've never sinned in your life. So you understand, there's some things he did as my substitute. And there's some things he's done as my example, right? Hallelujah. So we need to recognize what those things are. He's called the captain of my salvation. He's the commanding officer in this troop I'm in. Hallelujah, right? And he loves, somebody say, and he loves me. He loves me. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. You can't say that to yourself enough. Remind yourself constantly that he loves you. Because sometimes I don't like me. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like me. And it's a little difficult to accept this great love that when I don't like myself. I wrote that down in my devotion notes the other day. I was like, Lord, I see this great love you have for me and everything you redeem me from, but I'm kind of stuck with me. Right? But you don't let you get between you and him. Amen? You're born again. You have the right of access to the Father. I had a couple of Mormon ladies visit us the other day. I was out taking down Christmas lights, and they're out walking the streets. Beautiful people, you know? Zeal for God, right? And they're walking down, and I found my kid's old Batman mask. So I put the Batman mask on, and I'm out there taking down lights, and here they come walking down the street. Like, hey, hi. Like, you with Latter-day Saints? Yeah. Well, praise God, how you doing? And I'd kind of forgotten I had Batman mask on my face, and they're laughing about that. Oh, yeah. So we started talking, and I raised my mask up and made eye contact. We're kind of across the way, you know? But just like, you know, guys, God bless you for what you're doing and everything. And it's like the Lord said, tell them where you're different. I'm like, well, I know these people have a hard enough time with Christians when they go door to door, you know, slamming the door and they're telling them they're going to hell. What? I mean, it's just stupid stuff. How many know only God knows the condition of a eternal soul's heart, whether they're Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Catholic. Hello. Did it ever dawn on you that maybe there's somebody in church somewhere today that's been there for years that ain't born again, even in the pulpit? Hallelujah. Somebody just say, it's up to God. God knows, right? But he said, tell them where you're different. Oh, but I want them to like me, Lord. I don't want them to, you know. It's like, well, you know, ladies, here's where we're different. Here's where we kind of, and I told them I'm a pastor, and I apologize to them for probably how a lot of people in the body of Christ treat them, all that kind of thing, you know. And I said, but here's where we're different, guys. The Book of Mormon, it's error. Well, have you ever read it? Not much, I said, right? Not much, no. But I know this, that the Book of Mormon is looked at in the same level as the Bible. It's taught that in the Mormon faith that the Bible is incorrect, there are errors, and that it is incomplete. And I said, that is not true. And that's where we're different. Oh, okay, well, but hey, guys, have a great day. You're beautiful people. I haven't met a Mormon person I don't like. It's like, but that's just where we're different. Now, I don't know where that goes with them. They're taught from this high to do what they're doing. They're taught you have to do A, B, C, D. Jesus died, yes. But you also have to do this, and this, and this, and this to be saved. And I went over that too. I just started preaching. It's like, and you know what? There's nothing else you have to do to be saved except receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everything else you do after that is because you love him. The reason I don't go out and commit adultery, the reason I don't go out and steal, the reason I don't go out lying, the reason I don't go out gambling, the reason I'm not smoking weed is not so I can make it to heaven. It's because he has set me free from that. And now I say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I love you and thank you so much for dying, for what you did for me. Somebody say, he did it all. My faith in him, period, is what gets me saved. And then they went on their way, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See, other than that, I can't, somebody, it's important to realize this. There's nothing I can do to redeem myself, which is what religion across the world teaches. you need to do this and spin these beads, climb this mountain, climb this stair, you know, do all these good deeds, you know, yin and yang and not sowing and reaping, but the karma thing and all, you know, it's just a trap. And it's about men controlling people's lives, right? Jesus didn't do that. He did what he did because he loves me. He didn't do what he did because he had to. He did what he did because he chose to. Because he loved his Father. And he loved us. And there's no other way to be saved. But faith in the name, in the blood, in what Jesus Christ did once. Somebody say, once and for all. Once and for all. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what we say. That's our lingo. Hallelujah, right? So anyway, welcome to Redeemed Church. Some synonyms for redeemed are words like win back, recoup, regain, restore, ransom, change. That's a big word for this year. Discharge, exchange, purchase, recapture, reinstate, retrieve, settle, call in. Don't you know we're in a church that believes in calling stuff in? Calling people in. Hallelujah. Get back, take in, trade in. Praise God. And our slogan here is, where love reigns. Where love reigns. Psalm 107, 41 through 43. They will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Praise God. We're all deepening and growing in our understanding of the loving kindness of the Lord. One of I don't know the exact scripture address, but it came to me while we were worshiping, is the scripture talks about the prophet walking out into the river and it's ankle deep, and he walks out a little further and it's knee deep, and he walks out a little further and it's waist deep, and pretty soon he's over his head, right? That's what we want people to experience here, is wow, the love of God is really deep. I can get in over my head if I want to in the love of God for my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. The four E's of Redeemed Church, if you haven't noticed, the word redeemed has four E's in it, which stand for exalting Jesus. Now, there are scripture references to that, but we won't, for the sake of time, look at them. But somebody say exalting Jesus, right? There's a big need in the body of Christ to get back to preaching Jesus, right? Exalt Jesus. Right? Amen. Encouraging his people. Church ought to be a place you come in and feel built up. Right? Encouraged in your faith. Equipping his people. Church ought to be a place you come in and get equipped for life. Amen. Through the word of God. All these ways that people are being equipped. The women's breakfast. All these things that we're doing are to encourage and equip you. Amen. Embracing the world. That's the other E, right? And that has to do with world missions, but also things we're doing in the community to help feed the hungry, whatever the mission. You saw the people here last week reaching out to the world. All y'all know that. That's what we're doing. That's who we are. That's what we're called to do, who we're called to be. It doesn't mean we're embracing the philosophies of the world. I kind of think of it like Red Rover, right? If you can break through, you're going to have to break through us to get to hell. Good luck, right? Because we're praying for you. We're loving you. Even some of these political commercials that are coming on now with Democrats and things like that, people that are ripping down our president and honestly attacking things that we believe and hold dear, right? I'm choosing today, I'm not going to be mad at those people. They are eternal souls, and some of them probably are born again. They're just doing what they're doing because it's their job. I've heard him say it. I don't believe this, but it's my job. Yikes, right? So we pray for them. And some of them, yeah, they're just blatantly anti-God, anti-faith, anti-this, whatever, right? So we don't get angry at them. We pray for them. That's another way of embracing the world, is pray for them. Amen, right? Praise God. And our church core values, the core six, we walk in love. Somebody say, we walk in love. We live by faith. We pray about everything. We put God's word first. We make disciples. We are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's verses there to go with each one of those. And there's, you know, our website has some of that as well. But it's just good for you to know this is where you're going to church. Amen. And some of these I got from Eagle Mountain's core values. I really enjoy them. And just, you know, that we're and that's a good transition, actually, for the next page. We're not a church that is a part of any one denomination, non-denominational, independent, whatever you want to call it. But we believe strongly in partnerships. Okay, so I've never felt, honestly, since I could remember, I want to go to church. My mom had to drag me to church for a long time. And then after a while, I started wanting to go to church. But I never felt good about saying, well, I'm Foursquare. Well, I'm Assemblies of God. Well, I'm Methodist. Well, I'm this. I'm a Christian. Okay? So, in other words, we're not anti-denomination. We're a part of the body of Christ across the world. If they're preaching Jesus, they're family. Amen? But partnership. I've learned this from the Copelands and the Sevilles and Eagle Mountain International Church. I've really, when I became a pastor especially, but really just as a Christian, but when I really got into, now we're going to be ministering at our own church, I needed somewhere I could plug in. Don't you know it's good for your pastors to be plugging in somewhere and not just pulling stuff out of everywhere, right? Amen. And for me, it's places like Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Jerry Seville Ministries, Victory Network, Keith Moore Ministries, Bill Winston Ministries, Creflo Dollar Ministries. Should I go on? Rick and Denise Renner. Amen. Andrew Womack. Hallelujah. Yeah, Joel Osteen. Amen. This is the kind of track. I love Charles Stanley. I love, you know, other people around in other, you know, denominational type places and that kind of thing. But as far as day to day, that's where your pastors are at. That's where we're feeding. That's what you're hearing. And we've had many people show up and love that. And we've had some show up and decide not to show up anymore because they were like, oh, you're saying that? Amen. And some people are taught that the faith teaching and all that kind of stuff is a muck. Well, it's not. It's not. I mean, I see it in the Word. Amen. We're not here to follow men. We're following Jesus, but He connects us with men and women that are preaching things that He wants us to be plugging into. It's biblical. Amen. So in terms of the Copelands, it's a prophetic ministry. I always want to hear what Brother Copeland is going to share for the next coming year. And you can yourself, it's good for all of us to be partners with these types of ministries, but kcm.org, and they've got a really good video clip on there of the entire prophetic word. But in essence, he says this, Acts 2, 16 and 17, but this is what was, and this again is regarding 2020. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So a year of vision and dreams for the body of Christ. This is not just for God's leaders, not just for God's generals. This is for the body of Christ. So somebody say it's a year of vision and dreams from the Lord, right? He said this, 2020, the year of change and manifested power. And in the full prophetic word, he talks about everything from, you know, spiritual climate change to political change. And one of the messages that he shared was that there's going to be a change politically in terms of the people that are, I didn't put this in there, but the people that are anti-God are going to be removed. And the people that love God, they'll be replaced by people who love God. That's a prophetic word. And he talked about things, bad things will happen to the God's enemies. And then I heard about Iran. And I thought, wow, this word is already, God said something and it's already happening. Right? So not just in-house, but out there in the world. God is going to replace people in key places that are anti-God with people that love God. Change. Somebody say change, right? Changes will come that that changes will come because of insights, ideas, and concepts directly from Jesus. Amen? So whatever change you're believing God for, whatever manifestation of God in your life you're believing for, write it down, claim it, pray, trust God for it. Amen? And just receive it from the Lord. And once he gives you something, don't be wavering about it. Just say, yeah, yes, amen. Like I said, with me, the Lord is moving me from new toilet faith to new house faith. Come on, right? That brings me to Jerry Seville right here. JerrySeville.org, right? And that's a great place to visit too. Psalm 115:15, and he's saying this regarding this year. May the Lord give you increase more and more. Somebody say more and more. You and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. In 2020, I will open a new door and you will experience supernatural increase beyond anything you have experienced before. Somebody say hallelujah. And again, you can read his entire letter on his website there or become a partner and you'll get it monthly, right? Increase that exceeds your previous experiences beyond what you are capable of. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Obeying and serving God faithfully are the vital keys to experiencing supernatural increase. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the thing I've learned over the years with the prophetic word is that these things are not automatic. You need to be pressing into it. We need to, as a body, as a church, individually, corporately. That's why watching broadcasts like on Victory Network and tapping into these ministries, reading your Bible daily, praying in the Spirit, you're going to be pressing in to these things that God wants to do and reveal to you and show you. Amen. And again, we're not doing this to earn some kind of brownie points with God. Again, he says, son, there's nothing really you can do that'll benefit me. This is all for you. Amen. So we press in. Somebody say, I press into this. Hallelujah. How do you press into it? By speaking it, believing it. Don't just forget about it. Well, I guess that's what's going to happen. That's what God said. Well, we need to press into it. Press into it, which brings me to Jesse Duplantis right here. And you can visit them at jdm.org. He said that, and they have more like what I would call ours as a theme for the year. In fact, he called this the theme for the next decade of their ministry. Great expectation gets great results. Somebody say, great expectation gets great results. God is expecting great things for you, but we need to be expecting along with God. That's what Sister Kathy said. Somebody say, yeah. Yeah, I'm expecting. Amen. What are you believing for? What do you want this year? That's from Brother Jesse. Now, you would be surprised how many Christians would throw stones at such a statement. Well, how dare you? How dare you ask God to heal you? Who do you think you are? I think I'm a son of God, a daughter of God. I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've got the call of God on my life. So therefore, I'm going to believe God for these things. Amen. So don't let anyone limit you and what you're believing God for. It's between you and Jesus. Check it in the Word, but it's between you and him. Don't let anybody talk you out of what you're believing God for. See, we've got to look at our expectation level like a fire. I've got this really cool fireplace that I never have to light because it's fake. You just turn it on, and I've had it on since like October, and I come out in the middle of the night, and it's like a cozy, but it's fake. Right? It looks nice, but it's not real. But the fires of our faith and expectation have to be fed. Keep throwing kindling on it. Keep throwing the word on it. Keep praising God through. You know what I'm saying? We have to stir ourselves up continually to keep this thing hot. Amen? So somebody say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be expecting, and I'm going to get in touch with what it is I'm believing God for. Write it down, claim it, receive it, believe it. Amen? And Psalm 23 is one of the chapters that he brought up. But again, you can see him and Sister Kathy together on, I think it's this week's broadcast, on their website. In fact, I told you I'm posting things on Facebook, and I posted all three of these on Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, just look them up online. If you don't know how to get in touch to our Facebook page, just go to our website, which brings me to the next point. Right here from Pastor Steve Livengood, redeemed-church.org. That's there for you. You can feed off of that. I've got links to these other ministries and so forth on there. Sermons you can listen to or you can share with friends. You know, use it as a light. Amen. And our Facebook page, that's what I'm looking for, is actually listed on there. You can just click on, we've got a little slideshow that goes through, and you can click on the Facebook one, and it should, in fact, I'd like to know if it works, it should take you to our Facebook page, where you can see some things that I try to share something every week that maybe blessed me, amen, and you might be blessed too, praise the Lord. Anyway, so our theme for the year is fellowship. Somebody say fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus and fellowship with one another, right? The body of Christ. That's why you'll never hear me bashing anybody in the body of Christ, calling their names out and saying where they're wrong and this and that. No, we're all family. We do need to know where we're unique and so forth, but we're a part of the body of Christ, man. Amen. Praise the Lord. But 1 John 1:3 says this, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship. Say fellowship. With us, and truly our fellowship, say fellowship, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the theme for 2020 at Redeemed Church will be fellowship. And I wrote a couple of thoughts there that came to me over the past few months. And I'm going to be teaching, as far as I know, along these lines much of the year. Amen. But the question, Jesus said this to me, I had a whole laundry list of things and when I got to this, like, yeah, that sums it up. And he said this, the question is not, what are you doing for me? The question is, what are you doing with me? I thought, wow. Wow. The question is not from the Lord, what are you doing for me? It's no, what are you doing with me? Glory to God. I don't know about you, I'm feeling it right now, but that's where my heart is. I don't want to be doing stuff for you. I want to be doing stuff with you. Glory to God. He's the leader. I'm the follower. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. Or the under-shepherd in this case, right? Amen. I would say to you, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if Steve starts preaching Looney Tunes and Mickey Mouse, and then that's what the doors are for, right? You're not locked to your chair. But if I'm preaching Christ, man, keep coming. Keep coming. Hallelujah. And guess what? I got nothing else to preach. Anyway, it's kind of a one-point sermon. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Right? Hallelujah. And then I heard Dr. Avery Jackson say this in his broadcast with Kenneth Copeland this past year. And he's a neurological brain surgeon, born again, spirit-filled. Bishop Keith Butler, there's another guy, Bishop Keith Butler's church in Michigan. And he said this, when you have a relationship, your heartbeats literally sync up. I'll tell you what, that jumped out at me. And he went on to say it has to do with agreement. I'll tell you what, I want my heart synced up with Jesus every day, right? And don't you know, if we get our hearts synced up with Jesus, we'll all be synced up together. Our hearts, as a church, we should all be beating with the same rhythm. What is that? That's fellowship. Fellowship with Jesus. Amen. Like the scripture, we're going to close here. Like the scripture, you know, stepping into the water. Does anybody know that chapter off the top of your head? You can look it up really quick because I'd like to say it. But the one where the prophet steps I think it's in Kings somewhere or Chronicles, where he steps into the water and the water comes up to his ankles and he goes a little further and it's up to his knees and he goes a little further and it's waist deep and then pretty soon it's over his head. That's what we're talking about here. Somebody say, I'm just going to get over my head in Jesus. He's taken me from toilet faith to house faith. Hallelujah. Praise God for a new toilet. But man, there's something he wants to do that was beyond me. And even that was beyond me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll get to that scripture later. Amen. Why don't y'all stand up on your feet? And if you have, if you wrote down your dreams and visions, and I'm gonna keep this recording, because if you're out there listening later and you have things you're believing God for, write them down, press pause on your device, and then unpause it when you're ready. I want to invite you all to come up. Yeah, sure, Lindsay, and I'll anoint you too. Thank you. And we're going to pray. We're going to anoint the things you're believing God for, and we're just going to believe we have it. Somebody say, I have it in 2020. So come on up if you have something ready, and I'm just going to anoint you. Just bring it up before the Lord and just hold it out in your hands, even if it's on your phone. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, God, today. We thank you, God, today that you're the God of vision and dreams, and we declare them done. In Jesus' name, you can just hold out your hands. In Jesus' name, we agree. In Jesus' name, every vision, every dream, Lord God, we call them completed. Like Brother Jesse was saying this week, everything in your word, the answers to all of your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. Yes and amen, we say. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, we call all these vision lists, God, all these things that everyone is believing for, God, we call them completed in the name and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that all of these visions, all this, begin to praise him. Lord, we thank you that my dreams, my visions, Lord God, the things that you're showing me, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, these things will be completed, and you'll have to find another thing to believe God for. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we call it completed. Just like Jesus said, it is finished. In the name, and the angels have marching orders today. They're going and accomplishing these things. Brother Copeland was teaching on the Lord of Sabaoth in Malachi, the God of angel armies that are going forth ministering on your behalf, setting things in order, arranging situations and circumstances. Somebody's believing for family members to come to Christ. Somebody say, it is finished. Now you turn it to praise. Lord, I thank you that it's done. Believing for financial breakthroughs, just say, it is finished. And you begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Believing for things in your life that you need. Health breakthroughs in your life that you need. Just say, it is finished. And I receive it all today. And as you see your list daily, every other day, whatever you do, you pray over it, you praise God that these things are completed on your behalf in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Tell somebody, I got it. I got it. Did I get everybody? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you and have a wonderful day.